Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurts lines them up, three receivers left, including Goddard. Barkley to his right. A.J. Brown out to the far side. Back goes Hurts. He's going for Brown. Touchdown! Inside the white pylon.
Just a little back shoulder fade. Again, you've got A.J. Brown out there. He's in a one-on-one. That's a winning situation. A.J. Brown runs the fade. Jalen throws it to the back shoulder, and he just spins away from the defender and makes an easy touchdown catch.
Well, you know Mike Wick's loving it as a receiver. Get the best players the ball. And certainly in the second half, they came alive. A.J. and Devontae and Jalen, they all play great. They play great, 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 great football. Fred Johnson, in some ways, saved the day. Odd that Stoutland didn't have him ready to go as the prime backup, but they got there. And Eagles win a lot of games in that survive in advance fashion, to use an NCAA tournament term. And yesterday was another one. But yesterday was more than just survive in advance. Yesterday was like a, I'll give you a tournament reference, a Bryce Drew buzzer beater.
Oh, Valpo.
Remember that?
Of course, yeah.
Dived on the court. All right, so congrats to the Eagles to 3-0. Also, a lot of phone calls on Bernie Perron, his tremendous legacy in life here in Philadelphia sports. Sadly passed away yesterday. We pay tribute to the great Bernie Perron, who we should not forget, not only played and all that, he was their goalie coach for a while. He was Pelly Lindbergh's coach. So Bernie had just such an immense impact in the history of Philadelphia sports. Seth Joyner is going to be with us coming up shortly. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to King right now in Philly. Good morning, King.
Hello.
What's up, King?
What's up, King?
What's up? Good morning. Good morning.
Look, good morning,
I've been to an Eagles game since I was like 18. Yesterday, I turned 36 years old. So I was like, let me get a ticket to the Eagles game. And, man, what a game to
That's
go
awesome.
To.
Good man. Good man.
The first half, I was like, if they ban the tush-push next year, at least I got to see it in person. So I was satisfied with that. But in that second half, man, every time A.J. touched the ball, the energy was just different. Like, it was different. It's like in the moment you had that confidence, like, on both sides of the ball, like, we're going to do good. Like, and last 2 seconds of the game, I'm like, come on, not on my birthday, don't lose. Something's got to happen. And like,
yeah.
And then moment, it didn't feel real, like it got blocked. And like, I thought Jordan Davis was just running to celebrate. Then they announced a touchdown. You're like, what am I watching right now? Like, the rest of the day, it just didn't feel real, man. Like, what a birthday. It just did not feel real.
So you're going to go to a game when you're 54? Is that your next one? 18? 36? 54? Is that how it works?
That's how it works. I got to go way before then.
Yes, you do.
I get to another one.
Well, King, I'm glad you had that experience, man. That's quite a game to be at for the first time in 18 years.
Never forget it. I appreciate that. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, King. Great phone call, buddy.
Happy birthday, King.
Yeah. All right, let's welcome in the great Seth Joyner. He's brought to us, as always, by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. Seth with us every Monday for the 9 o'clock hour. Mr. 59, how are you, bud?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing this morning?
Great. What a win.
Super. Unbelievable. Hard to beat a team that believes and refuses to quit.
Yeah.
And they had every opportunity to just lay down yesterday and say, oh, well, they got the best of us this time, but good God, what a game.
You know, Seth, I think they've entered the realm of being amongst the most mentally tough teams I've ever seen. I talked to Stephen A. one time, and I was talking to him about the 0-1 Sixers, and I said, I've never seen a more mentally tough basketball team. And he said, well, Jordan's teams had that. And I'm sure they did. I mean, Jordan. Mm-hmm. But, like, this team never, ever gives up. It's really something.
Well, I get the sense that, you know, they went into halftime and Vic Fangio probably ripped into the defense a little bit. And because they made a lot of mistakes in the first half on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of mistakes.
Zach Bond said it wasn't changes so much as just attitude change.
Listen, and well, John, you know.
The details from the first half.
There's times where coaches need to make adjustments. And there are times, in my opinion, where coaches really need to kick their players in the ass.
Mm.
Because they were making mental mistakes. It wasn't a schematic or.
What's an example of a mental mistake that you saw?
Well. And there was one blitz where both linebackers went, and there was one blocker. And I've run that blitz before, so I know it. The minute I saw it, I'm like, okay, this is what's supposed to happen.
So this is the A-gaps?
Well,
inside backers?
The tackle actually slanted down in the A-gap, which took the guard down with him, and then the back stepped up. So when the back stepped up, one linebacker has to go inside the running back, the other one has to go outside.
Well, the cross dog.
Yeah.
Are you guys crossing?
Well, they can cross. They can cross, but I don't think they were supposed to cross there.
Mm-hmm.
Schematically, it was set up for, okay, there's one guy to block two. So if one goes inside, one goes outside, you got a free runner. Well, they both went inside.
Mm. Both got blocked by one guy.
Both got blocked by one guy. And then the other thing is on the touchdown to Devontae Adams.
The push off, by the way.
Yeah. Wow.
That's another thing when it gets
AJ pushed up.
Not like Devontae Adams did, man.
But my point,
I would not have called the AJ, but I would have called Devontae.
But my point is, Reed normally does a very good job of understanding that, you know, he's probably a 4-5 guy. He doesn't have the speed to like really run with top level wide receivers. So he normally does a good job because they were in cover two. He does a good job of getting over the top right now with depth. And he got caught flat-footed. And Devontae ate up the space.
Yeah.
And once he ate up the space, he wasn't going to run with him anymore. Devontae was basically running away from him. So, and I know, you know, he was probably looking in the backfield, thought maybe they were going to run the ball and got caught flat-footed. But when you're playing cover two, you're responsible for half the field. And you've got to get over top of that side. And the wide Devontae was in the slot. The wide receiver on the outside run like a 5-yard stutter, which made the corner sit down. So he's got to get over the top right now. He had no other vertical threat. So if he just gets over the top, and I know what he's thinking, they're going to run a stutter and stop. So I got to jump this thing, and you can't play it that way.
Sure.
You know, you got to get over top so they can't run by you like that. And if guess what, if he stops and they complete a 12 to 15 yard pass, then so be it. You got to come up and make the tackle. But you can't let that guy run by you like that in that coverage.
What about the offense? So, and we're going to get to your calls with Seth in studio for an hour here. So, you know, three things were noticeable. One, Johnson, help me out. First name, what's his name?
Fred
Johnson gets in there. Another thing is they go up tempo. Another thing is Jalen starts having a little bit more design runs, all of which were positives. But what else explains, how do you, like, not move the ball and then move the ball a ton? Like, how does that happen?
Well, I'm smiling at Rhea because I know she probably seen my tweet yesterday during the game.
Yes.
Addressing.
First half or second half?
Matt Pryor.
the whole Matt Pryor deal, okay? I mean, you cut this guy 30 times, man. And you put him in before Fred Johnson.
Right.
Fred Johnson, in stepping in for Lane, played pretty well last year. So somebody pray and tell me, how in the world do you move Matt Pryor ahead of Fred Johnson? And then Fred Johnson's got to get Jalen on. Matt Pryor's got to get Jalen almost killed before you make the decision to go to Fred Johnson. And he comes in the game and it stabilizes everything.
Fred hadn't played on that side. That was the problem. That was their worry. He hadn't played that side.
John,
they felt like Pryor had the experience. They were going to try to get by.
Did you see?
It's a mistake. I looked in retrospect.
And clearly he can play it because he proved it.
He's more versatile than they expected.
Listen, I get it. I get it. But my point is, he's filled in for Lane in the past before. Okay? And they made a decision.
I didn't remember that.
Yes, I do remember it. I remember Lane got hurt for a game or two last year, and he filled
the
in
the Bengals
for him.
Game, didn't he? Wasn't yes. he? In, was it the? He was in on a game and he played really well.
Yeah, I thought yes. he played both sides last year.
Yes.
Yeah,
concussed for the Bengals game. I think
okay,
it was.
So I'm done beating up Matt Pryor. I want to answer your question.
Because we see it in sports, you know, a team has nothing and then they have everything, or they have everything and then they have nothing. Like, it's just weird.
Well, this is what I think happened. When, in our pregame show yesterday, I said, you know, we haven't seen a lot of read option and RPO.
Absolutely.
Through the first two games.
Absolutely.
And I told Mark Frazetta and D. Gunn, I said, listen, man, the Rams had problems with the RPO and the read option last year. You remember in the divisional game, Jalen took off of 40 yards off of an RPO, okay? And I said, I'd like to see him run a little more of the P in the RPO, because if that tackle is coming down, then that means the linebacker's got to scrape and replace, or he's out the gate again. And when that linebacker scrapes and replaces, if he can outrun him, take off and run. But if he doesn't, you got A.J. Brown on that side, and you should be running that RPO to the weak side, to the open side, which is the X side where A.J. Brown would be. Take the slant. So now you got them, you know, in the mixer, so to speak. Well, I think they made the decision at halftime to start running more of that, and then they turned Jalen loose. They pretty much just turned him loose in the second half and said, hey, we've tried. We bumped our head against the wall. They got Saquon's number today. And we
Why?
Just and we well
what was the difference between last year where Saquon was 200 yards every time he took the field against the Rams to this year?
Because I'm going to tell you, John, I don't know what's going on with their running plays, but they try to run a lot of plays up the middle where Jalen will get the ball and he'll just turn and hand it to Saquon. They're not running the stretch plays a lot, where you give Saquon the option of getting outside,
sure.
And maybe it's because they're not getting the blocking on the edge out of the tight ends, especially when they go to 12 personnel like they've been, but they're not running the
we
stretches.
We don't have good blocking tight ends, Dallas Goedert on the field, that's not a strength.
So I'm not sure why they're not running the zone that gives him the option of hitting it outside or cutting it back, picking his own.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
His own lane. But they run a lot of plays just right up the middle and right in the teeth of defenses now. And I think you have to set it up with the outside to come back inside. Yeah. You can't just keep pounding it.
I will say this, Seth, and maybe I'll be the first person in town to say it. He looks affected by close to 500 carries. I think everything you're saying obviously applies, but I also just with the eye test, and it's early, and it's three games, and I could be wrong, but I remember when he played that game against Green Bay last year in Brazil, and I remember watching him and saying, this is totally different than what I've seen. I've seen Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy, and it was like, this was different, and this year he doesn't look different good. He looks a little diminished. We'll see.
I don't subscribe to that. You know, the offensive line did some great blocking. I think the offensive line have got some things that they need to work through. And if you remember, they didn't really hit their stride until week six.
Clearly the line is struggling compared to last year. There's no question.
So the line itself needs to, you know, he's – John knows. I mean, he blocked for running backs. You know, you got to have somewhere to run, and you have to have options. Yeah. When you're getting penetration and you're in the backfield right now and you're cutting off half the field, it takes away cutoffs. And most of your runs come from, you know, shotgun where you're standing right next to the quarterback. You're limited. You either have to go across the quarterback's face in a run play, or you got to go straight downhill, which they're doing a lot of. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see him, love to see Jalen under center more. I'd love to see him dotted, or I'd like to see them in the pistol. And it's a dead giveaway, too. I tweeted that yesterday. Every time Devontae Smith comes running across in motion, they run a freaking ball. I'm like, just leave him over there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I can see it,
yeah.
You mean to tell me that these guys that spend 15 hours a day,
right?
They're not going to see, that's not going to be a key? What? Because as a player, when you're watching film, John, you're looking for every single little clue that you can come up with.
Yeah.
And every time you see skinny Batman goes running a short motion across the formation, they turn and they hand it to Saquon, and they've got five guys in the backfield before he can even get the ball in his hands.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Yeah. Seth with us this hour. Let's talk to Jordan in Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Oh, good morning, everybody. What a wonderful day to share the name Jordan with an excellent Eagle on the heels of an all-time performance yesterday. Jordan's Unite, and J names too, right, Seltzer?
There you go.
Yeah, big day for us.
J, the big last letter to J be added names. Into yes. the alphabet.
I'm sure Jordan Matthews is saying this. He's going to be the next caller. He's going to say the same thing. He's proud of Jordan Davis, too.
You know, I'm 20 years older than Jordan Davis, but somehow my parents still knew me to name me after him in honor of this epic performance. Before I get into it, I just want to say Shana Tova, Happy New Year to all of my Jewish brothers and sisters celebrating out there.
There you go.
The holiday tonight. Here we go. 1 in 33,000 is the odds of 2 blocked field goals and one of them being a game-winning field goal block.
Wow.
1 in 33,000. It would be 110 NFL seasons for that to happen.
Which we haven't had. Yeah, we've only had about 105 seasons or something. Yeah.
So, I mean, in addition to a great win, just an amazing experience to watch that yesterday. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Eagles timeline meme. The, oh, I'm excited to watch my team. My God, I'm going to kill myself. Oh, nice, we won.
Yes.
My buddies Jake and Eric and I, we talk about this meme every week, and the meme lives. And I think as Eagles fans, we just got to get used to this meme ringing true. His team is going to give us a heart attack every single week. But the most important statistic is the wins that they put up. And you can talk about whether Jalen had the best half of the year, the best half of his career. I don't want to hear any Jalen hate on the heels of that win. It was a bad first half. The guy put the team on his back, and he actually made it happen. And I, for one, believe he took over a lot of the play calling in that second half. The rhythm was too good. He was doing his reads. He's changing it, the line, the gun. It was absolutely fantastic what Jalen did yesterday.
It was incredible. It was. Jordan, good phone call. It was incredible.
You know, Joe, this is one of the things, you know, I had a dissertation in our post game yesterday because Jalen Hurts doesn't get the credit that most quarterbacks around the National Football League get. They are deemed to be the field general, the leader, a leader of men, all of those things.
Sure.
And Jalen Hurts, because he was drafted in the second round, he wasn't a first round or a top 10 draft pick. And because of his style, has never been, you know, given that honor. But think about it. When they run the read option, he has to make the right decision. One wrong decision, and they're minus 5 yards.
Yep.
Okay? And the RPO is the same situation. You got to make the decision to give it. You got to make the decision to keep it. And you got to make the decision to throw the pass. Okay.
He's an incredibly deliberate football player because of the weight of these decisions.
Yes. And
he makes is so important.
He is deciphering this information at light speed. Okay. Last year.
Yet somehow doesn't get the credit for that.
Yeah, but that's the point I'm making, John. He took over the protection
from Jason Kelce
last year. Full time for the first time in the Super Bowl winning year for the first time. Okay. So I would assume that can probably play a role, should have played a role last year, you know, in probably, you know, his role in not playing, not throwing the ball extremely well. And then he'll stand at the line of scrimmage and decipher which are good plays, whether we need to get out of this play and get into another one to check, like, a couple of Saquon's runs, big runs, 60, 70-yard runs last year were checks at the line of scrimmage by him.
Yep.
That touchdown pass to Devontae Smith in the Super Bowl, 46 yards, was a check at the line of scrimmage by him, okay? We need to start respecting our quarterback because he is more than just a runner. He is more than just a passer. He is the complete quarterback, and he should be looked at and revered with the same reverence that we do all of these other quarterbacks that are great because of what they do and what they bring to the table, okay? A lot of these quarterbacks the last couple of weeks have thrown for 120 yards, 130 yards, 140 yards. Josh Allen, 148 yards last week. But we don't hear anything about those comparisons, okay? We in Philadelphia have got to realize what a gem we have at quarterback. And what he brings to the table is much bigger than we give him credit for.
All right, let's get to Brian right now. Brian, good morning. Yo, Brian.
Hey guys, good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy.
What's up, Brian?
Yeah, man. Wow, the Eagles game last night was just one of the best things to go to bed. Like my TV went out that last 10 minutes.
Oh no!
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So when I saw how close they were,
well, that's
like
what
a
the
that's
what the Odyssey app's for, and you listen to WIP. You get Merrill and Mike on the call. A very simple solution. I'm, you know, not ideal to not have a visual, but at least you got Merrill and Mike.
Yeah, man. You know what? You need Merrill. And growing up,
hold on. When you say you need Merrill, does that mean you don't need Mike? I mean, if I'm Mike Quick, I just heard a little. I kind of got this there. I mean, what the heck?
Listen, you got to go to.
Nah, you know. Listen, I love all you, man.
I'm playing around with you, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, you got to go to WIP's YouTube page. You have to see the interaction between Merrill and Mike when that block is made. I mean, Merle looks like, I mean, I don't know how much more this he could take, man. He was like shaking like a leaf with excitement. I was like, oh my gosh.
Dude,
didn't see it. I got to check it out.
You got to see it, man.
I just celebrated 8 years sobriety. And I got to watch the Eagles the first year, 2018, to watch them win the Super Bowl. But the best part, I just told my Uncle Ray, he was doing the Tommy and Me play down in Delaware. And Jim Gardner had me go up and tell my Uncle Ray that he was my hero growing up.
Wow.
You know, I remember when he used to type in our house in Fallcroft when we were little. Like, I'm 53 years old, so I remember those days. But then
So Ray Didinger is your uncle. That's something.
We're family. Dude, let me tell you something. He's my family, and it's I actually work now with Fox News. I'm the recovery expert for Fox News in Kensington. So I got to be on the TV, so I know how Uncle Ray felt now. So,
good.
But with Bernie, Bernie was special to a lot of people. Yeah. You know, Chuck, what we used to call his son Chuck, Little Bernie, when we were growing up. And just that whole neighborhood over in Cherry Hill, where Ray lived right around the corner. Bernie lived on the other corner. Bobby Clark lived back in the circle, you know, and just that growing up and Bernie's, the way he treated people, like he treated everybody the same. He had loved that guy.
He did.
And I'll never forget. I have a funny story for you. We were at the Coliseum, the old Coliseum. It was right before probably Lindbergh got killed. Mm. And my mom was there putting on hockey skates, right? And Billy Barber and Bernie Prompt were standing right outside the ice, and my mom slapping this kid putting the skates on, and my mom looked up, and it was Bernie. Bernie's like, "That's not your son," and Bernie and Billy, you know, are laughing with my mom. But there were the times growing up in Cherry Hill, it's the coolest thing. I mean, my childhood amazing. Was amazing.
Listen, they stayed right here, Brian. And Brian, excellent phone call, and God bless your family. We love your uncle Ray.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.